And praise God. Welcome to Eve's Corner. I am Prophetess Amina Campbell. Eve's Corner is a show that is designed to encourage, enlighten, empower, uplift, edify, and comfort God's people. So I definitely thank you for joining today. I thank you for just listening in. Hopefully we'll have some more callers on today. Today's theme is In Purpose, On Purpose. That scripture is going to be from Romans 8 and 28 today. And it reads as follows, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now, this scripture does go on to the 31st verse, and we're going to probably get more in depth in that on today. But just know that, you know, when you're walking in purpose, when you're walking in God's purpose for your life, and headed in the direction of destiny, sometimes you're going to have some obstacles. Sometimes you're going to have some things to come at you. So we're going to discuss those things a little bit more on today. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you now, God, for our many blessings. We thank you, God, for watching over us and keeping us, God. We thank you for your blood covering. God, we pray that you just continue to shine your grace and your mercy upon us, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. We pray now, God, that you touch every listener on today, God. Lift up bowed down heads, God. Encourage their hearts on today. Heal the sick, God. Deliver and set free in the name of Jesus. God, we just glorify you and we praise you now because we know that, God, you're going to speak to us and through us on today. And your people will hear what they need to hear on today, God. Let your word fall on good ground. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So our featured book today is Destiny by Bishop T.D. Jakes. I know that some of our listeners may have already read the book and some of you may not, but if you want to call in today to discuss the book, if you want to call in today to just talk about how you discovered your destiny and your purpose, then we definitely want to hear from you. Our featured health corner is going to be about the effects of stress. We're also going to talk about some things that you can do to relieve stress. But we want to hear your opinion. So call in. That number is 888-627-6008 if you want to chat with us. Again, that number is 888-627-6008. Now, not only does stress affect your body, but there are some other behaviors and things that go along with signs and symptoms of stress. So again, call in and tell us some ways that you relieve your stress. Last but not least, and I know that some of you have been waiting for this one, our Ministries on the Move segment today features Minister Charles Yarbrough. Now, Minister Charles Yarbrough wears several hats, but I'm going to tell you some basics about him. He's a native of Sturgis, Mississippi, and is the son of Charles and Bertha Yarbrough. He is married to the former Lestonia Alliance of Columbus, and is the father of three daughters and two sons. He also has three brothers and two sisters. Mr. Yarbrough is a product of Sturgis Elementary and Sturgis High School. After high school, he joined the Mississippi Army National Guard from 1989 to 1998, where he received several awards in physical fitness and academic excellence. In June of 1995, he was employed by the Starkville Fire Department as a firefighter. He began his ministry in September of 2006. Charles Yarbrough worked his way through the ranks by receiving promotions as a fire sergeant and fire lieutenant in the fire suppression division. He was promoted to training officer in May of 2008. He holds numerous certifications and a large number of state and national classes. He also holds a bachelor's in fire administration and fire prevention technology from the University of Memphis, a master's in executive fire leadership from Grand Canyon University, and is currently completing the organizational leadership doctoral program at Grand Canyon University. Training Officer Yarbrough is a Mississippi State Fire instructor and a certified CPR instructor. He was appointed to the fire chief March 30th of this year. He attends church at Truth Christian Center, where he serves as an associate minister. One of his favorite sayings is, "Your condition is not your conclusion." Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Minister Charles Yarbrough.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
I am doing well.
Wonderful. Wonderful. You excited about being on?
I am. This is the first time, so I'm very excited about being on. Excited about the program and excited about Romans 8:28, for sure.
All right, definitely. Well, listen, give us the word that God has for you today. We're going to just give you the floor.
Okay, as we talked earlier this week, and I was taking a look at Romans 8:28. Of course, Romans is my favorite chapter. It's so much, as we say, meat in Romans. As I began to look and pray on what I would say today, the Lord just kind of showed me a few things. First thing, before I say in purpose, on purpose, and I kept thinking about the word purpose. So I went in and I defined the word purpose, and it says it's the reason for which something is done, created, or for which something exists. So before we can do anything, before we can know anything, we have to know our purpose. So I would ask the audience, I would ask you, what is your purpose in life? Our number one purpose is the reason we were created, the reason we exist. Our ultimate purpose is to serve God. That's the ultimate purpose. I think a lot of times we get mixed up and we think our ultimate purpose is to graduate at the top of the class, to get the best job, to marry Prince Charming, to travel the world, to have the best cars, the best houses. And those are all great and they're all good and they come with the promises of God, but our number one and our main purpose is to serve and please God. And once we get that understanding, then our life will be better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So tell us about you personally, Charles. I know, like I said, that you wear several hats. When did you know your purpose as it pertains to ministry? I know that you went to school and you went into the military, but when did you know your purpose as it pertains to ministry?
I would say in 2000, in the year 2000, and I'll tell the story, but it was I was at home and I was asleep, and the Lord woke me up in the middle of the sleep, and he showed me a few things, but one thing that I heard three times was that this world is full of darkness, but for this reason I've called you, that you'll be a light in a dark place. Mm-hmm. And I knew then that was my purpose, and of course I ran for a few more years, and he finally caught up with me, but that's when I knew, and people would always say that 18, 19, and you were going to be a minister. And I said, nah, that was something I didn't want to do, or be a preacher, or be a pastor. I always strayed away from that. But when God called you, you can't run.
That's right. That's right. And I agree with you. I also love Romans 8 and 28, especially from the NIV version, because the scripture says, in all things, God works. A lot of times we think that, you know, it's about who we get to know and rubbing elbows with the right people. And, you know, if I just had a little bit more education, but the Bible says in the NIV version that God does the work and he's doing it for my good. So all we have to do is trust him. He already knew us from our mother's wombs. He already had predestined, predecided, preordained. He had already called me and decided who I would be and how I would be. And he justified us.
All right. Way before we even were born, he justified us.
That's
right. He knew us, right?
That's right. That's right. And sometimes, you know, as I said before, as we're walking in purpose, you know, there may be some obstacles, you know, so that causes us to have to make some defensive and offensive plays, so to speak. Those things may have to be necessary in order for us to just keep going. Sometimes you're already fighting your own doubts. You're already fighting your own fears. With some of us, we have to just fight discouragement from other people and the words that they might say. We have to fight the desire to want to quit. You know, but that's one thing that we know for sure is that you definitely can't get anywhere if you quit, if you just give up.
Oh, no, you're not going to make it anywhere. And he's going to be with us all the way. And like I said, we're going to have some ups and downs. And you were mentioning the sports analogy. And the Lord showed me earlier that, we have things going on. We fight through things. We have people come against us. But the final score is always going to be 8-28. We're always going to win. We're always going to be on top if we have him with us. You know, even though it seems like we're losing, we always win with God.
And absolutely.
I know. I think a lot of times when people look at that, when I look at that scripture, it said all things work together for good. And it says we know, you know, and God to the message, he could took those two words out. We know. It would have read this, all things work together for good for those who love God. And it still would have been a great scripture, still would have been powerful scripture. But the Holy Spirit, he don't waste words. So he says that look, we know. That all things, and basically it's about our attitude, it's about our confidence. And when we say that, we know that all things work together for good. That's a confidence. I know they're going to work together for my good because God has told me they work. And though even though same things don't always work out the way I want to work out, they still gonna do what God said they're gonna do, and He's gonna make it work out the way He wants to work out at all times.
That's right. And that confidence is necessary. It's necessary to have our confidence in God, because sometimes people do let us down. Sometimes we may not know which way to go right away. Sometimes we just have to be encouraged, or encourage ourselves. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel in the 30th chapter that David had to encourage himself, but the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself in his God, because we know that we as humans, as man, as flesh, you know, sometimes we fail. Sometimes we disappoint. But the Bible says that David encouraged himself when the situation looked bad. All the women had been taken captive. The camp had been burned down. The people were ready to stone him, because that's what happens sometimes, you know, hurt people, hurt other people. But in this situation, David turned around and encouraged himself. And that's the best thing to do, because the encouragement has to come from who you know God already is, what God has already done for you, what God has already brought you through, how God has already delivered you. So David, knowing how God had already delivered him in several things, how God had already forgiven him and lifted him up over and over again, David had to encourage himself in God.
Oh, he had no choice. And then I was just saying, and the Lord showed me Psalm 51. Uh-huh. The way he got to write Psalm 51, he had to go through. He was bad. He did things he shouldn't have been doing. But at the end result, he wrote Psalm 51. And that's still, all these years later, still encouragement to me and to you and to the entire body of Christ. So, it's tough sometimes. And the Lord is saying all means all. And he said, when I say all things work together for good, that means all things. And I was like, okay, Lord, well, even if somebody dies, all things work together for good. Even if you don't get what you want, if you don't get the job that you want, you don't have the position that you want, you don't get the car that you want, the spouse, things don't work out. But God said all things work together for good for those who love God.
That's right.
So he has a way of bringing things out. And a lot of times our situation come in, our doubt comes in, because we can't see the end result. And we always want to know what the end is going to be, but God don't. He don't always show us the end, because if he did, we don't have any faith. But we all know he wants us to put faith in him until the very end. And that way we can always say, it never was me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's going to get the glory. And he deserves the glory, because it's all about him anyway. It's not about us in the first place. One of the things, you know, as you mentioned, we always want to see the end result, is we have to learn to appreciate the journey. I can say that for myself, the skills, the character, the strength, the faith, the fortitude that I've developed in my journey is what makes it all worthwhile. You know, old people used to sing that song, "I wouldn't take nothing for my journey." And I now know what that means. You know, when you're younger and you hear them sing those songs, it's like, yeah, okay, what time church gonna let out? You know, but now I can look at it and say, oh, Lord, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey, because I wouldn't be the woman that I am today. We wouldn't be the people that we are for those things that we went through, the things that we had to deal with. God was getting me ready. God was getting me ready for such a time as this, for such a place as this, for this season in my life. The blessing is already in the set place at the set time, but he had to get us ready. So all we have to do is walk it out, endure the process. Now, sometimes we don't like the process. You know, we're a microwave generation when it comes to some things, you know, but I've learned that food tastes a whole lot better when it marinates for just a little while longer. I've learned that food is just a little bit more tender if we let it cook for just a little while longer. So rather than being that microwave generation, praise God, we have to learn to just endure the process. What were you going to say?
Oh, you're exactly right. We're going to have to, because at the end of the day, when God does things for us, it's best. And I can just look back over my life and things. 20 years I've been in the fire service, and I saw how things worked over 20 years. And I had to endure a lot of stuff, a lot of prejudice, a lot of racism, a lot of things that to get to the point I am now. And back then I didn't know he was building me up for where I am now. And even in the ministry, we never know what he's doing. But everything in our life works together for what he has called us to do. And he said if we allow him, he's going to get the best out of us. But the best ain't always going to be easy. It's going to be a hard road sometimes to get to the best.
Oh, yeah,
and I think a lot of times we put our eyes on other people and we say, well, look, it seems like they have it easy. Mm-hmm. But we don't know the struggle they've been through, and they don't know the struggle we're going through. So God only knows, and he knows what the end result is going to be.
Well, two things to your point. You were talking about when you were in training as a firefighter. Now, what would have happened if you had taken a short route or you had just read somebody's notes and you didn't go to class? We might be in trouble.
Oh, yeah, I would definitely be in trouble because when the time came to actually do the job, I won't be able to perform the job. So that's the same thing God is saying now. Yeah, I'm going to have to take you through this. I'm going to have to teach you some lessons. So when it's time to come, because there are people that they're going to need to know, okay, yes, you can make it. And how? Well, they say, well, how do you know you can make it? Well, I know you can make it because I made it, because God brought me through it, so he can bring you through it. We have kids, we have friends, family members that need to know that, and a lot of them don't know it. But we can be a witness to them that, hey, God brought me through it, so he's able to bring you through it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And sometimes it's for our own self. It's just like it's for our own self, because we need to know it sometimes for our own self, because as saved as we are, and as sometimes as holy as we are, we still need God, and we still need to, like David did, encourage himself. David had slain the bear, he had killed Goliath, but at the end of the day, he still needed God, you know, just as much as we do.
That's right. And isn't it amazing that after we've slain our bears and we've killed our giants and God has brought us out, you know, the smallest thing can happen and we would doubt after we already have seen God operate and we've seen God move. But it's a trick of the enemy that causes us to forget all the wonderful things that God has done and this one little thing that you're facing right now. You know, we can trust God for healing or deliverance of our children, but we won't trust him when it comes to saving our marriage. Or we can trust God when it comes to helping us to get a job, but we can't trust God for our own health or other situations. Well, we've already seen God move, not just in our lives, but in the lives of so many other people. But we forget, we get that momentary amnesia, I guess.
Oh, yeah, just forget everything that God has done. We still bring it. Yeah, and I always say it is so easy to, for me, maybe not for you, but it's so easy for me to believe for other people. Now, I can encourage anybody else. I can pray for other people. I can believe that God is going to move in their behalf. But sometimes, even though he done moved in my life, it's still hard sometimes to see how God's going to work it out in my life. So, yeah, you're exactly right.
Yeah, and I can attest to that, too. You know, I guess that's one of those preacher things. We're always praying for other people and standing by somebody else, you know. But when things happen to us for some strange reason, we get blindsided. And like, we just didn't see it coming, you know. And I can speak to that in my own marriage. You know, that was one of the largest parts of our ministry together was in ministering to couples. I did a lot of women's ministry. He did a lot of men's ministries. But when things happened with our marriage, we did not see it coming. And because we did not have the tools in which to utilize to just get through it, we didn't know what to do. We were blindsided. We had prayed for everybody else, but we had never had certain issues. And so, again, like I said, my own testimony blindsided me. Absolutely blindsided. I mean, the enemy came in, you know, but I can say that, have I learned some things from that? Absolutely. You know, because that's one thing about going through is that, you know, you better learn something, because I really don't want to take that test again.
Oh, yeah.
So at this stage, I'm saying, okay, Lord, forgive me. I missed that. However, the next time, you know, so I take it as a learning opportunity, and we should do that with everything in life. Anything that we're dealing with.
We definitely should.
Anything that we're dealing with, no matter what it is. And you also mentioned jealousy. One of the things we do have to remember is not to be jealous of somebody else's calling, not to be jealous of somebody else's blessing. You know, we have to learn, you know, as some preachers say, is that, well, if you see your neighbor getting blessed, that means he's on your street. So you'll have to be worried. You know, your time is coming. He's on your street. You know, you don't have to worry about the person sitting next to you or on your row getting blessed, because that means he's coming down your row. He on your pew. He in the aisle. You know, but that is one thing that we do have a tendency to do, is to get jealous of other people and what God is doing in them and through them. So we have to learn to be authentic. And we have to learn to. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I just saying, you're absolutely right. We have to be authentic and looking at other people, we're like, man, how is God blessing them, but he's not blessing me? No, why? But it's not our time at that point. We all have those times in life when it's just your time, when God's moving in your life and everything, working on your life, it's your time. And then it may not always be that way. And then down the road, it's going to be somebody else's turn. But he has a way of blessing us. And I know when I first started, I always wanted to be like T.D. Jakes. I always wanted to preach like T.D. Jakes, but the Lord said, no, I didn't call you to be T.D. Jakes. I didn't call you to be Ron Parson. I called you to be you. So I had to be what he called me to be.
That's right. And we have to embrace our own uniqueness. You know, people used to mess with me when I started preaching back in the 90s. And for some reason, I would walk the floor, and I don't know how it happened, but I could never have my shoes on by the end when I was up in the pulpit. I don't know what it was, but it seemed like I would preach out of my shoes. And people would say, oh, you a little Juanita Bynum. No, I don't even know her. I'm just who I am. I'm who God called me to be. You know, we happen to have similar gifts that in the prophetic, but I'm who I am. I'm who God made me. So the one thing I never want to be is like somebody else. Yeah, we may have some similar traits. And like you said, when you start out, you know, there are people that you admire, you know, and you may want to pick up some of their trends and some of their traits. But one of the things that I found out very quickly is I am not them. God anointed them for that, but God anointed me for this. I can't do that like they can, but they definitely cannot do this. That nobody can do Amina better than I can do Amina, you know. So that's one of the things that we just have to embrace. We have to embrace it. And sometimes, you know, with uniqueness, you know, that's one of the things that makes the best models. That's one of the things that make the best TV shows, or really in anything that we do, because nobody wants the cookie cutter model anymore. You know, people want somebody who's unique. People want to hear something different. You know, if you sound just like everybody else and if you don't have an opinion, then, you know, what's the point? But the best exchange or the best engagement in anything that we do in life, when you walk into a company to apply for a job, they don't want somebody just like the ones they already have. They want to know, what do you bring to the table? What do you have to offer? What's different about you? Why should I hire you? What's so special about you? And so that's your job then, to turn around and tell them, this is what I can bring to you. You need this, this, and this, and this is what I have to offer. It's the same thing in a relationship. In relationships, if you go and meet somebody and you're just like the next person, then they're probably going to run, because obviously they're not with them for a reason. You know what I mean?
So
we definitely have to be cautious.
You're right, as with anything. And I found out early in the ministry, like you said, I found out very quick that I was not T.D. Jakes, nor could I be T.D. Jakes. And, you know, even though as much as I love his ministry, I had to be Charles. And then I can't even be my mom or my dad. I have to be myself. And you're right, when you do that, and once we learn that, we understand what God has for me is for me. And then our life can move forward.
That's right. And he anoints you where he called you. He's working it out for you in the job that he called you to be in. So again, trying to be somebody else doesn't help us at all. So now, speaking on this subject, we do have a caller. Esther, are you there?
Okay.
Caller, are you there? Okay, looks like they may not be there just yet. Okay, looks like we've lost our caller. Hopefully they'll give us a call back. Nonetheless, when talking about our destiny or walking in purpose, Charles, one of the things that we have to do is prioritize. You know, if our priorities are all mixed up and we're saying we're living for God, you know, one of the things that is a true sign, and Jake's also mentioned this in the book, is that where you spend your money and your time is very telling. If you spend your money and your time in the wrong places and none of it's focused on God, or none of it's focused on the purpose that you say that you're heading toward, or the goal that you say that you're trying to get to, it's very telling. It speaks to whether or not you're really committed to get to this goal. And that's the next step, focusing on our goals. You know, in order to sustain your passion, you have to focus on the end result. You have to focus on the finish line. You definitely can't run a race and you're looking back at the people behind you. You can't run a race and you're worried about, you know, that last 20 seconds of that lap. But you have to focus on the goal and getting to the finish line.
That's right. We have to make the finish line. Back when I was in high school, we was on the track team. We were running. Of course, you know, you accumulate points from running. and small school, so not that many people to run. We ran several different races, but I had a friend of mine. He just stepped off the track. He just walked off the track, and the coach came to him and said, "Hey, look, no matter what you do, finish
That's
the race.
Right.
I don't care if you have to crawl across the finish line, as long as you
That's
get across the finish line. Don't get off the track." So a lot of times we get off the track, and you know, we never get back on. But right, where we put our money at, where we put our time and our talents at, where we focus those are, that tells exactly who we are.
Absolutely. And it speaks to how long it may take you to get to that appointed place and time of your destiny. Because if you quit every time something happens, you're not ready. And you're going to continue, just like the Israelites out there in the wilderness, to go around and around this same desert until you get the point. Once we learn to endure, once we learn to make it to the end, once we learn to ignore those things that drain us or deplete us or distract us, and it's not just things, sometimes it's people. You know, if there are some people in your life that are draining you and distracting you and trying to keep you from getting to your goal, there comes a time that you have to say, okay, I'm going to have to let you go. I'm going to have to ignore you, because clearly you're hindering me from getting to where God wants me to be, and I can't have that.
Right, because we need to be on the same path. If we're going the same way, you can't be pulling against me, I'm pulling against you. Something got to give.
That's right. How can two walk together except they agree?
That's 100% right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, our caller is back on the line. Let's go ahead and see if we can get our caller connected. Esther, are you there?
I am. How are you today?
I am well. How are you?
Fantastic.
Hey, man. So did you have a comment for us today?
I did. I wanted to compliment your guest and say that the program has been very enlightening, and I so enjoy your conversation about David especially and how, you know, he faced so many obstacles. One of the things that I wanted to just comment on and see if you would elaborate on is that so many of us as believers, we become discouraged because sometimes we've gone through difficulties, and then we get a breakthrough, and we're so ready to enjoy our life and enjoy the breakthrough. But then another challenge comes, and it seems like everything that you went through before was not enough. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that you all pointed out was about how David killed the lion and the bear.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I found is that with each new obstacle, with each new trial, is it requires you to use your faith again.
That's right.
And sometimes we feel like if we've done it before, we shouldn't have to keep doing it again.
But that's
just not how life presents itself. And so when David killed the lion, he had to use his faith at that level. He killed the bear at that level of faith. And then Goliath came. And he had to choose faith again. And
That's
so sometimes
right.
as believers, it becomes tiring. The battle becomes tiring. But we need to remember that each new challenge presents a new opportunity or requirement, really, for us to use our faith, because the just shall live by his faith. And so we become weary in well-doing. And so I just wanted to make that comment and also to compliment you and your guests for just bringing these things to light, because sometimes as believers, we tend to go through things. Some people suffer, they say, in silence, and they really don't have someone to confide in when they're going through a difficult time. And so I just wanted to put that out there and hear your comments on that.
Oh, yeah, Esther, definitely. Thank you for reminding us once again. You know, and you said it best, we have to use our faith again, you know, but the same God that helped me to conquer that giant, the same God that helped me to kill the bear when I was out there all by myself, is the same God who get me through this thing, whatever this may be for some of our listeners. And also to your point about some people suffering in silence, you know, that's one of the things that the enemy uses against us, especially as Christians, is that we don't tell anybody. It's that trick of, oh, yeah, you're the only one going through this. And with some things, we're embarrassed. And some things, you know, we just feel like, well, Lord, I just don't have anybody to talk to. You know, so we sit there and we suffer rather than even just praying. We just let the enemy beat up on us. And then we go into that depression and we go into just that loss of faith, and we begin to separate ourselves even from the church. That's the beginning of some people backsliding, is going through something and it just, well, I just don't feel like going to church today, or well, I just, those people can't help me, you know. But again, it's a trick of the enemy to separate us and to continue to beat up on us while we're out there in that wilderness. Charles, you want to speak to that point?
Oh, yes. Thank you for your comments. You said it best, I think, when you were talking about, when Dave was talking about from the bear to the lion, and his faith increased every time he got to something big. And of course, but if he wasn't able to conquer that bear or that lion, when he got to Goliath, he was going to be slayed. So God will start off with small things. Do you believe in me? Yes, I believe in you. Okay. Now, do you believe I can do this? So he keep increasing our faith, and that's the good analogy of how he increased David's faith. So when he got to Goliath, can he have any problem believing? Nobody else believed, but he believed it because he slayed that bear and because he slayed the lion, that God was able to bring him through. And that's the same thing we have to do. We're going to have to go back. Did God help me get through the sickness? Yes, he did. Did he help me to do this? Yes, he did. So if he can do those things, then yes, he can still move my life again and allow me to do other things. So that's a great compliment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Esther, thank you so much for calling in. Other callers, if you'd like to call in and also share your points, Esther, you don't have to go anywhere now. Just so you know.
It's such a dynamic program.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I definitely appreciate your support. So it looks like we have another caller on line four. We have Curtis.
Ken.
Okay. Hi, Ken.
Yeah, out of Columbus. Yeah, I'm a Church of God in Christ, Ella Jennings, out of Columbus, Mississippi. And I was listening in to the program, and I was just thinking about destiny and purpose. You know, it's a meal that go together. But one thing about Saul, see, Saul, his purpose wasn't totally into God. He was just wanting to please the people instead of please God. David's heart was into God. So his heart was into God. So God chose David. He did not choose Saul. The people wanted a king. They were just constantly crying for a king, you know. So they was crying out of their flesh. So God gave them what they wanted out of their flesh, but he gave them a warning before he gave them the king. He told them what would happen, you know. But he always gives us a warning before destruction, you know. He does that, and he still do it today, you know. So destiny and purpose, with one has to be pulled into the other. And I believe that purpose is poured into destiny, you know, into someone's destiny, and being directed and being led by what's poured into you, then that's when you take on the initiative, you know, and pursue whatever that gift God has in you to pursue. You become fruitful and you multiply in it, you know. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because that's the gift, not trying, like that other call said, not trying to be T.D. Jakes, you know, just be who you are, you know, and then God will allow others to be blessed through you. So purpose and destiny always go together. I always say my grandmama, she make a meal, and she put everything in that bowl that she going to put in that stove. You know, you see, you know. Then everything comes into play, into Romans 8:28, because it's all working together, you know, for to be able for that house to be for edified and for those stomachs to be filled.
Absolutely.
So God shows us both the natural as well as the supernatural. You know, he's always up to something. And that's what purpose is. It's always doing something for the believer's heart. Mm-hmm. But they have to accept that in their heart in order for anything to follow through in their life.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that you said, Ken, is about, you know, us walking in our purpose. God blesses the people when we're walking in our purpose, when we're doing what we're supposed to do, because the objective in the first place is for him to get the glory. The objective is not about us in the first place. When we're doing what we're supposed to do, he gives us what we need to be a blessing to his people, because clearly God blesses us to be a blessing. God blesses us financially to be a blessing to the kingdom. God pours his word into us so that we can give that word to somebody else. The Bible says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So we help not just us by testifying and telling people of the goodness of God and the things that God has done for us, but also we're a blessing to God's people, and that's what he wants us to do. So we do thank you for calling in today, Ken. So now one of the things that I know that many people deal with is that some people don't know what their purpose is. Some people have no idea exactly what it is that they're supposed to do. Minister Yarbrough, one of the scriptures that I like as it pertains to that is Jeremiah 29 and 11. The Bible says that. That's right. He said, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Now, if there's not a future in it, it may not be something that God called you to do. It may not be from God. When God gives us a plan, it's a plan that's going to be of encouragement to us and to others. We may not even know how to do it. We may not even have all of the resources that we need, but we can be sure that God says that this is what he wants us to do. And then he's going to direct our path as to how we're going to get there. Can you speak to that for me, Minister Yarbrough?
That's funny you said that. Last year I did a sermon. It was called What to Do Until the End. So what do we do until the plans come into fruition and what God would have us to do? And you said that. You said, God says, so I know the plans. And our main issue is with that is we don't know the plan. And we have a problem sometimes trying to figure out what the plan is. And we listen to other people. We listen to what other people say. And we listen sometimes to the wrong people about what the plan is for God. That he has my life, but we need to be listening to God. He said, I know the plan. And so if he knows the plan, in order for us to get the plan, we got to go to him. Because he's the one that can, he's the author in the sense of our faith. He can write the book. He can do everything. So to get the plan, we can't go to certain people. Especially if they're not in God, we need to make sure we go to him. Because he's going to direct us and guide us in where he wants to go.
That's
and a lot of times, you know, when the plan comes, we're waiting on the plan to come forth. We frustrated sometimes because it's not coming forth in the way we think it should come, in the way that I think. But if God knows the plan, he has all the details, and that's our issue. We don't know the details most of the time, and he may give us one detail at a time, one promise at a time. We want everything at one time, but if we did that, if he came in and just gave us everything at once, we never would have faith to believe on anything. So he gives us a little bit at a time until the plan is, and you're right, if the plan is not surrounding him, any plan he has, at the end of the day, it's going to be to glorify him. So if it's not that, then maybe it's not God's plan. Maybe it's something that you came up with. Yeah, you can plan to have the best job, but if it's not going to be glorifying God, if you get the best job and you don't pay your tithes and offerings, you're not really glorifying God. So it all works together. You know, God is saying, what do we do until the end? What do you do until the promise comes to fruition? And it may take a while. But God also says this, that now he is the one that can speed the plan up. So he has the ability to speed up whenever he wants to.
That's
so
right.
If you're doing what you're supposed to do, he can speed it up or he can slow it down.
That's right. And that's one of the things that I mentioned. You know, sometimes when we're not doing what we're supposed to do and we're not where we're supposed to be, you know, sometimes it does get slowed down like the Israelites until we learn these valuable lessons that we're supposed to learn along this journey, until we learn to just trust him, until we learn that, you know, our job is only the resource. God is the source. Until we learn that our faith and our hope should be in God, not another person, not even a spouse. When we learn those things, then we get to the place where we're supposed to be. And again, the blessing is in that time and in that season. Esther, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
One of the things that Minister Yarbrough said that I really liked is that he knows the plan, but we have to ask God. What do you think about that?
That is absolutely true because, like as she was saying, as the minister was saying, that every plan that God has, he knows the details. And so by him concealing the details, what it does is it compels us, it draws us to a place where we stop seeking other sources, but we come to him, the source of the plan.
That's right.
I was thinking earlier in listening to your conversation that God has a blueprint. One translation of Romans 8:28, it says that he knows how all things work together to fit into a plan. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes the all things that we deal with, we look at them individually and we can't see how they all fit.
Mm-hmm.
But that's
Absolutely.
Not our part. It's God's part to bring it all together and to make it fit into the plan that he had. So I think it's very, very encouraging when we understand that even though we look at the individual situations, circumstances that we walk through in life, if we look at them individually, it can become discouraging when you're trying to figure out the why behind what you went through. But when you understand that God is the one that brings it together, we don't have to know how it's going to work together. We have to trust. That's where that element of trusting God comes in. We have to trust that each situation, he brings it together to fit into the plan that he had. As you said in Jeremiah 29:11, the plan that he had, he knows the plans that he has for us. And so it is a surrendered life. The Christian life is a surrendered life. And things working together in God's plan and in his timing is a very powerful thing that causes us to draw near to God, to trust him, and to seek him for the details of our lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with you totally. Another scripture, you guys, for those who don't quite know their purpose and kind of don't know which way to go, it's necessary to just pray and seek God about it. In Proverbs, the third chapter, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. You know, asking him is one thing, but trusting him with the answer is another. You know, sometimes we ask God something and he gives us an answer and we're like, huh? Do what, Lord? So how much of a seed? Well, now, Lord, you know, I got to do this and I got to do that, you know, but God will give us the answer, but we have to trust him with the answer that he gives us and know, you know, going back to Jeremiah, is that his plan for us is a future of hope. It's a real future, you know, hope in him, life in him. And Jesus said he didn't just come to give life, but he came to give what kind of a life?
More abundant life.
An abundant life. So it's not just to be here. It's not just to exist, but it's a life that is abundant. Amen. So callers, if we have someone else who wants to call in and make a statement or give a comment on this subject today. We're talking about purpose and destiny. You're more than welcome to call in. That number again is 888-627-6008. If you want to make a comment again, and as it pertains to our health corner, we would like for you to call in and talk about how you relieve stress. Let's talk about some tips to relieve stress. And we're going to talk about some behaviors that come from stress. And oftentimes, Minister Yarbrough, when we are on our journey and on our path to our destiny, we're walking in purpose, you know, that the enemy will try to bring all kinds of things at us. And stress is one of them. Stress shows up in several different ways. I know one of the things that can happen with a lot of people is they'll get migraines or, you know, some kind of headaches. And people say, oh, well, you know, that's just in my genetics. It just, you know, runs in my family. Another thing is muscle tension or pain. People get chest pains, upset stomach, a change in their sleep patterns and anxiety, lack of motivation. These are just a few of the signs, depression and irritability. Although we know that these are things that the enemy brings and we believe that God is a healer, there are some natural things that we can do because, again, faith without works is dead, being alone. So, you know, because there are some natural things that we can do, we would like some of our callers to call in and talk to us about some things that they personally do to relieve their stress. Do you have any comments as it pertains to stress relief? Now, I know everybody's going to say, I pray and I meditate. Now, in addition to those things, we'd like to hear some other opinions as to what types of things some of you might do as far as stress is concerned and relieving stress. Because, you know, the enemy will bring all kinds of things into our path. You know, and it's not just the enemy. Sometimes it is our flesh. Elder Jennings was saying, you know, we deal with the flesh. We live in this fleshly body. Some things we bring on ourselves. But just if our callers will call in and talk about some of the things that they do to relieve some stress, I'm going to let you guys be the experts today as it pertains to that. We want to hear your opinion. So, Charles, talk to me. What do you do? I'm sure that you work out on a regular basis, right?
I do. And that's probably my best way to relieve stress. I put some good gospel music on, and I work out, have a good time working out. that's one of the big things, really stressing. For me, I kind of live in a stressful environment as far as work and things like that. But plus for me, and of course the prayer, but video games relieve my stress. So that's one of the things I use. So, you know, sometimes people don't like it at the house, but that's one of my biggest things. I like playing video games. That relieves stress, and you know. So that's one of the things, working out of that. So, you know, sometimes video games can be stressful because you're not winning on the game, and it can be stressful. So you have to be careful on that, too.
I love it. Do you know how many men right now are listening, high-fiving you, saying, yeah.
I told you.
Absolutely. I agree with you totally. Video games may not be for everybody, but for some, you know, it gives a moment of escape. So that's a very unique answer, actually. You know, I do expect people to say that they exercise and they work out, you know, but that one caught me off guard, I have to tell you, Minister Yarbrough. But yeah, those are good stress relievers. And music, you also mentioned music and listening to some good gospel music. You know, there is one thing about music, and I think that's another reason that I really like David. The Bible talked about David dancing, and, you know, obviously, you know, this is a brother that liked to praise God. One of the things that I do also, before I go to work, I'm meditating, and I have to, you know, I get myself into a zone. But when I leave work, and sometimes because it's late at night, you know, I have to have my music on, but it's always something encouraging because I don't want to lose focus, you know, because you can easily let the things that have happened in your day distract you from the mission and the goal and your objective and what it is that you're trying to do and where you're trying to be. So sometimes, you know, I do that also, you know, with the music. You know, I can start my day with and I can end my day with it. But the music, you know, as long as it's the right kind of music, you know, music can set the atmosphere for several different things. But, you know, my objective and my focus is, you know, to keep my mind on Jesus, you know. So yeah, I utilize music also to keep me there. And when I'm doing my little mini workout, I'm sure I don't work out anything compared to what you do in a day. But when I'm doing my workout, you know, I also like to listen to my iPod because sometimes it keeps me going. You know, when I'm on that last 5 minutes on that treadmill and I look down like, Lord Jesus, is it my... So, yeah, I agree with you totally. Esther, do you have any stress-relieving tips?
Well, you know, I think just good, healthy relationships. Entertainment is a good thing. He mentioned video games as a method, but, you know, whatever it is that you do for healthy entertainment that takes your mind off of pressing situations can be a stress reliever. And so for some women, I know some women might not like this, but shopping could be one. I'm talking about within balance. I'm not talking about extremeness. But whatever it is that you do that brings relaxation to you, that helps you to take your mind off of pressing situations, that's a big stress reliever. And so sometimes it's a good putting yourself in a good social environment. I'm not saying necessarily church, which is a good thing, but a social environment where you can interact with other people who are joyful, who are happy, who are doing something positive. Those things also help to relieve stress.
Absolutely. Now, you know, I agree with you on that retail therapy. So I don't have any problems with that one at all, you know, and I'm sure right now some of the sisters are saying, I agree. I know we're nodding. But yeah, retail therapy is good. But, you know, you're absolutely right. The social environment is a really big deal. And sometimes we as Christians get mixed up and believe that, you know, all we're supposed to do is be at church and all we're supposed to do is go to work and come home. But, you know, again, God meant for us to have an abundant life. So, yeah, social environments, you know, I used to like to bowl. I'm not all that great at it. I probably got to about a 60. That was a good day. But did I not have fun? Yes, absolutely I did. If I wasn't doing anything else but laughing at myself and my gutter balls, you know, being able to just go out and enjoy the company of other people. You know, sometimes not even buying anything, like I said, but just walking through the mall or, you know, I can remember, Esther, it helped me. When we came back from Europe and there was no Wally World over there, and we got back to the States in 1995.
Absolutely.
When I tell you, I was so happy to see Walmart. I could go to Walmart and just walk through the store, you know. And I, again, I know there are some other women who can relate, you know, where you can just get out for a moment, get some fresh air. You know, some people go for a walk, you know, but my walk was in Wally World when I hadn't been around one for a long time. And it was Wally World, too. That at that time, they had made it 24 hours, I believe. And you could go in there anytime. You can go early in the morning, later on in the evening, just walking through Walmart because it was so many things, you know, so many different things. So many different avenues. Now, I'm not telling anybody to go broke. And don't y'all call me saying that I said the best way to relieve all your stress is just go to Walmart and spend money, because that's not what I'm saying. But, you know, just being able to get out and you know, do some socializing or walk around and do something different, see something different. One of the other things I like to do is go and sit by water, you know, so whether it's a lake or whether it's a dam. Yeah. There used to be a small body of water by my house when I lived in Nashville. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I could just go and just sit by the banks and read a book. You know, now I will let my baby, who's 6'4", he's still my baby, but I will let my baby sit on the side and fish or, you know, do whatever he wanted to do. He was right, you know, within my view. But I could just sit and watch the water and think and just let God minister to me. So, you know, I know for different people, you know, it takes some different things. But, you know, I know that stress is one of those things that can cause you other illnesses. You know, just being stressed out and what you're thinking is just, you know, oh, I'm just not in a good mood today. You know, it can cause overeating. It can cause undereating. It can cause drug, tobacco, and alcohol abuse. And it can definitely cause social withdrawal. So, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, we have to be mindful of because, you know, that's not what God wants for us. I guess the scripture that comes to mind with that one for me is 1 Peter 5:7. To cast all your cares upon the Lord because he cares for us. God cares about everything, every aspect of our lives. God cares about everything that's important to us. And he doesn't even want us to carry all those rocks. He didn't even want us to have all that weight on our shoulders. What he wants for us is to just cast our cares and our worries and our concerns, whatever it is, to just give it to him. Just like you do with that fishing rod, cast it away. You know, casting rocks, you throw those things away. It's not even something that we're supposed to carry. Minister Yarbrough, would you speak to that scripture?
Yes, when he's talking about you, absolutely right, casting out your kids, that is a hard thing to do at times, even as Christians, and we know better. But it's a hard thing to do because it's so easy to carry that stuff around with us, and we say it all the time, cast your cares upon him. But a lot of times, that's a difficult task to undertake, but we would have less stress in our life if we did that because there are things that he can handle that we can't.
Oh, yes.
If we can handle them, we probably would, but that's why he said, cast your cares on me. And he said he'll take care of them because he knows the best way to take care of them. He knows the answer to them. And when we try to answer ourselves, it's just going to cause more worry and more harm sometimes. So if we always start out casting our cares upon him, then our life will be a lot simpler, less stress, and things will be a lot better in our lives.
That's right. And, you know, for women, let me just be honest. We are not cute when we're stressed out. It affects our hair. Yeah. It affects our skin. Did you say amen, Charles?
Oh, I just yes, I did.
I love it. I love it. I love your humor. But it's the truth. We're not cute when we're stressed. Now, men either. But one of the things about women is that it normally shows, again, in our skin. You know, our hair starts falling out. You know, nails are breaking. We're looking a mess. We're acting a mess. Stress isn't cute on us. And so, you know, the one thing I want to do is still look good no matter what my age is, no matter what the circumstance is. I don't have to look like what I'm going through. So one thing for sure, for me personally, I don't want to be stressed because I don't want to wear that. Looks like we have another caller on line 3. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi. And who do we have on the line?
I'm Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. Sarah, you have a comment for us today?
Well, yes, I did call originally for a comment. First thing I want to say is congratulations on your radio show.
Thank you.
I've been listening from the beginning, so I have to apologize for that.
We'll talk about it later.
So this is my first. But I was calling about the stress relievers, and you actually took all of my answers. So,
well, you tell us yours, because I think I know some of the things that you do, but I want to hear it from you. What do you do, Sarah, to relieve stress?
Well, we'll just say today I have been cooking up a storm for no reason.
Uh-huh. But we're going to eat those in healthy portions, right?
Well, I'm going to give them away, but I have no idea why I'm cooking. But it was just okay. You know, focusing on something else, mm-hmm. You know, taking your mind away from it. So it's helpful for stress relief.
Absolutely. I agree with you totally. Now, I just want to know, what did you cook, Sarah?
Well, I started with the apple pie.
Oh, my.
then I made chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, my.
And all then, right. Oh, now I have banana bread in the oven.
Oh. Yeah, you have been in a cooking now, haven't you? Something else?
Yeah, and cabbage is next.
You know what? Everybody that talked about working out today is going to have to work out a little while longer, because you're going to cause my entire audience to get off of this phone, to get off the air, to log offline, and go somewhere and find some food. But yeah, I'm glad you're giving that all away.
Okay.
You would have a problem. We definitely appreciate your comments. So, you know, and for my other listeners, I know that, you know, again, in our journey toward destiny and toward our purpose, every now and then there are some things that, you know, can try or can attempt to throw you off track. But I just encourage you on today to keep your focus on God. Keep your eyes on the prize. Thank you so much to my guest for joining us today, to Minister Charles Yarbrough of Starkville, Mississippi. And thank you to my callers, to Elder Jennings, to Esther, of course, who was our featured guest on 2 weeks ago, as well as to Sarah, who called in and made everybody hungry. Thank you again so much, everybody, for joining. Our next show is November 7th. Our next book discussion is November 21st. That book is going to be The 40-Day Soul Fast by Cindy Trim. If you'd like to donate or contact Campbell Ministries, that's P.O. Box 16214, Jackson, Mississippi. 39236, P.O. Box 16214, Jackson, Mississippi, 29236. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for joining. Keep pressing. Have a great day.